Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Modern Money Smart Pod. I'm your host, Sean McMahon, and thanks to the generous support of our friends at Ion Markets, this podcast is in the middle of a little road trip. I'm coming to you from the 49th Annual International Futures Industry Conference, a.k.a. BOCA. I'm here to bring you insights from some of the key leaders in the cleared derivative space. Joining me right now is Magnus Haglund. Magnus is Senior Vice President, Head of Products, Marketplace Technology at NASDAQ. Marcus, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm excited to chat with you, but before we get started, just a quick heads up to our listeners that if you like what you hear today, Magnus and I will be collaborating once again next week for a webinar. That webinar is titled, What's Next? How Firms Are Future-Proofing Operations Via the Cloud. That event is presented by NASDAQ with Amazon Web Services. Magnus and I will be joined by John Kane from AWS and Monica Somerville from Celent. The webinar takes place March 20th at 11 a.m. Eastern. There's more info and a registration link in the show notes for this podcast, so be sure to check that out. But for now, let's focus on today. Magnus, how's BOCA treating you so far?
I think BOCA is a great event from the perspective that you get the buzz of the industry. And it's not just about what happens in the region, it's what happens globally. And the amount of executive decision makers from not just the financial market infrastructure side, but basically from the whole industry, vendors, intermediaries, trading firms, and regulators create, I would say, a great opportunity to have conversations, but also to listen to people what's top of mind.
And so what are you hearing?
I think we've been through different cycles over the years. And if I just look back the last 3 years, it's been kind of cloud, crypto, and now AI. And I think they are fundamentally, some of them are about capabilities that's going to help and facilitate transformation of the industry, whereas others have maybe been more about kind of business opportunities, and I'm thinking more than around crypto itself. But so the maturity of these topics are different, but this year it's cloud. It's important. It is important as an enabler, but it's also the maturity around how to use technology and cloud in particular is quickly growing in the industry.
The last year or so, obviously AI has been a hot topic. And, you know, how is that going to affect how the cloud is utilized in the financial services landscape?
I think what AI and I think in particular the hype around Gen AI, what that has forced is that people need to think about data and how to make data available, how to ensure that data is cleansed and managed and not locked in, because in order to run models at scale, you need to have data at scale as well. So I think that is a strong push now for exploring how to use cloud, not just as a compute and storage, but actually capturing the benefits of all the models and all the capabilities that exist there. So I think you're quickly seeing a increasing maturity around the importance of being good at data management, but also being good at using cloud services.
So what does that look like now across the industry? What's the state of play? I know NASDAQ recently put out a paper on this topic. So what's the state of play right now in terms of how cloud is being utilized by firms and how does that fit into, you know, an AI future?
I think that differs, across the industry. If you think about market participants or intermediaries, I think they have certainly adopted cloud over the last few years. But when it comes to financial market infrastructure, there have been some, of course, regulatory concerns, resiliency concerns around the use of cloud in order to hard requirements on how we manage clients' data and how we protect clients' data. But cloud is also moving from being, as I said, storage and compute to becoming more of a platform and services play as well. And as companies now get better to utilize those, it also becomes, I would say, daily BAU tools in their operations. And you can approach it in different ways. And certainly most companies are now starting with data, moving data to cloud, making data available, bringing more services to the clients using data, but then also looking into more mission-critical applications. So, and then I'm thinking about typically then clearing, risk management, and even trading. So it, the direction is here, and when people get more comfortable, when regulators become more comfortable, we'll see a much broader adoption.
So, touching on the regulatory side of things for a second, what are you hearing in terms of the greatest concerns, in terms of how people, I guess, well, first of all, decipher what regulators expect, but also how they'll, you know, reach that level of compliance?
Yeah. I think there are a couple of concerns. I mean, traditionally, it's been around the resiliency piece. If the services are resilient enough to be used by clients or firms running mission-critical operations. But I mean, there are so many industries that have had requests and expectations on these services. So I would say the cloud vendors today provide a very, very resilient and robust infrastructure. The second is around the ability to basically get insights and audit rights around them being critical service providers. And also there, we've seen dramatic change over the last 5 years, where the cloud vendors have truly adopted to what the industry expects, that it's not just a black box, they are recognized that they are mission critical providers of services to the industry, and also it's a number of regulations globally that is helping with that push too. And one of the most important ones right now is certainly DORA coming out of the European Union.
Okay. And so obviously cloud's been in, you know, this sector for a long, long time, or years, I should say.
Yeah.
What hurdles are standing in the way of it being even more widely utilized?
Traditionally, it's been, the perception of the resiliency and the robustness of the services, but I think we're past that point. The second is a lot of legacy that we have in the industry, and to transform from legacy applications that might have been here in 40 years to then take that to and adopt cloud require also a complete rethink in regards to your application suite as well, and how you consume technology, and that takes time. So I think that's one of the biggest hurdles for companies out there right now, is how do you make time and how do you free up investments in order to allow you to modernize, so you don't sort of spend most of your money on patchwork and fixing your current application. And there is a lot of things to consider. You have regulations, you have other reforms such as T+1 coming in. You have increased volatility, and that drives a lot of traffic and volume that you need to consider. And certainly to fix your current infrastructure to manage all that, and at the same time think about how I should invest and ensure that you have the right, also right talent in your organization is a challenge for many.
It sounds like what you're describing is kind of had a future-proof operation. So is that... what role do you play in helping, you know, firms understand what's involved with that process?
No, and as a vendor and a tech partner to many FMIs and banks and brokers in the industry, it's important that we provide modern tooling to them, that we provide them with the ability to capture the benefits of cloud. Just because we provide a cloud-native platform to our clients for either post-trade or trading, it doesn't mean that if they adopt that, they will gain all those benefits. It needs to be combined with talent and also for them, new way of working. So it's important for us to demonstrate the capabilities and provide them with the opportunity with our kind of mission-critical applications, and then work in close collaboration with them to ensure that they can benefit from that technology.
Okay. Now, we were chatting before we started recording here, and you were talking about how you're hoping to hear more conversations about AI here in Boca. Where do you want those conversations to go? Or do you have any, you know, predictions about how we'll be talking about AI, not only this week, but, you know, next year and the year after?
No, it's a good point. And the buzz around Gen AI and AI in general sense, I mean, it's going to be important for this industry, and it's going to be important to ensure that in the long run that markets run more efficiently, that post-trade runs more efficiently, and we basically reduce the barriers and increase the efficiency of our markets. So that must be the sort of the end goal and the outcomes we're striving for. But we also have to do that with ensuring that it works within our regulatory context. So there is no bias, all the guardrails need to be in place in order to adopt models. So I think what we're seeing now, and it's the same for us, it's a big difference between if you apply Gen AI and machine learning in general into your business in order to increase productivity and drive internal efficiencies. I think that's in a context that you can control. It's a completely different thing to actually use it for something that's in the product and bring it to market, because then it comes a lot of more liability around it, and you need to be comfortable about applying that technology. So it's good that we have a general discussion around how AI can be used in the industry, but I think it's important to understand that it's going to be one way of deploying this internally to achieve those efficiencies. I think that can go pretty quickly, whereas it needs to be a much more thorough discussion around how you actually bring it into product to take it into the market.
So how does a provider like Nasdaq handle that conversation? Is it almost like two different tracks? Like, here's the back office, and here's, if you want to use those tools for more creative reasons, here's this. So you really kind of have two teams, or is it all one team with both sets of knowledge? Or
no, I think right now we're running that as one team, but we clearly separate around the investments into those two different, could say, work streams, and you can also expect different outcomes within different time frames. So it's you can have less guardrails on if you do it inside the business, because it can be a POC. You can expect much more out of it, and also it's a lot of what you learn on in regards to deploying it internally that is can be shared and learned from many other industries too, because all industries are thinking about how can we build software more efficiently, how can we run operations more efficiently. So it's a lot to learn. When it comes to the use cases that are particular for capital markets, I think the industry needs to innovate around that themselves. And here we have a much more cautious approach to ensure that if we would bring something to market that we are comfortable about, very, very comfortable about the use case.
Okay, well, Magnus, I appreciate your time today. I know we're both going to be, you know, keeping a close ear to the conversations here at Boca to see if they kind of get to those places in AI you're talking about. And I look forward to having a much longer conversation next week.
Yep. So. Thank you, sir. It was a pleasure to be here.
Okay, everyone, just a quick reminder. Like Magnus and I mentioned, if you want to learn more about the state of play when it comes to cloud adoption across the financial services sector, check out the link in today's show notes. That will lead you to all the information about next week's webinar. That event will feature Magnus, John Kane from AWS, and Monica Somerville from Celent. It's going to be outstanding, so make sure you sign up to attend that free event. Otherwise, that's all for now. We're going to be bringing you more episodes throughout the week, so be sure to follow this feed for interviews and insights from Boca. And if you want to keep up on all the latest news from the cleared derivatives industry, not just from here in Boca, but throughout the entire year, follow the link in the show notes of this episode to sign up for the daily FIA Smart Brief newsletter.